Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, as I was thinking about it this week, it was almost 20 years ago, this fall. It was November of 1978. I think it was like in the first week or so of November, and my dad came to me and he said, "I've got a job promotion and we need to move." And I remember thinking, "Dad, we can't move right now. I'm a senior in high school. I have friends. I have some sense of social standing." Well, it's not very high, but at least I have some social standing. "We've got a nice house, a car. I've got my routine. I'm really comfortable. Please don't make me move." And I said to him, "Well, I think it's a good idea for you to go, but I'm staying here." It's very difficult for me to read this section of Scripture from Genesis chapter 12 and not remember that event in my life. Because Genesis 12 is about a moving day. It's a moving day and a promise. Last week we began talking about new beginnings as we looked at the story of Noah and the flood. It was a new beginning for Noah and his family. And there was a promise that accompanied that new beginning. It was a promise that through the family of Noah, God would bring to fruition the promise that he had first made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That the seed of the woman, the seed of Eve, a descendant would come who would crush Satan and all of his evil works and his evil ways. The promise would come through the family of Noah, as they were now the new first family of earth. And now today we see that promise further telescoped into the family of Abram. God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen Abram and his descendants out of all of the peoples on the earth. Of course, we know Abram better as Abraham. Later in the story, we know that God changes his name. But Abram is living in Mesopotamia. He is most likely worshiping the gods of his fathers. And God looks down and says, "This guy, this one is the one whom I want to work through to bring blessing and salvation to all of the nations of the earth." And so the Lord says to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." God says to Abram, "It's time to get up and go. It's time to move." Moving is not all that uncommon in our world. We have great communication and transportation systems. Many of us don't find it at all unusual to go to Canada or Florida for a vacation. Most of us have moved, some of us rather often. I counted about 15 times that Joan and I have moved since we got married. But Abram lives in a very different time. He doesn't know where he's going. It's an unknown place, a land that God will show him. It will be an unknown occupation. He doesn't really know what he's going to do once he gets there. He's called to give up his country and his lifestyle. He'll have unknown neighbors. He's to leave his father's household. On the surface, all of this seems rather foolish. How many of us would ever move somewhere without first checking it out? What about the school districts? Where will we live? What kind of house will we be able to afford? What kind of job will I do? What about the neighbors? At least we check out a few things on the internet. But Abram packs up his U-Haul and everything he owns and heads. Where is it exactly that he's going? I believe this is the origin of the phrase, "Are we there yet?" Every night Abram looks up to the skies and says, God, is this the place? Well, Abram is going to the land that God will show him. It's Canaan, a backwater community some 500 miles away from the prosperous city of Haran. Abram takes his wife and his nephew and all his possessions, his servants and his cattle, and is obedient to God's call. But make no mistake about it, this is a big move. So what does Abram get in return? He's called out of his comfort zone to live in a tent. He becomes a nomad. And we're told that the Canaanites were in the land, which is another way of saying his new neighbors were not really happy to see him. God calls Abram to go and to leave his homeland and his relatives behind and to rely upon the promises of God, to trust that there will be some place for him, to trust that God really does care for him, to trust that God will provide. In exchange, he gets a promise. Actually, it's seven promises. He'll be made into a great nation. He will be blessed. His name will be great. He will be a blessing to others. God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and all people on earth will be blessed by you. You got to admit, that's a pretty amazing promise, isn't it? But for a moment, consider how many of those promises came true during Abram's lifetime. God promised to give Abram the land, but the children of Abraham never really possessed the lands until the conquests that were completed by Joshua several hundred years later. Abram dies before he sees his people made into a great nation. And there's no doubt that many times in his life he had to wonder how great his name was going to be made and exactly how all of the nations of the earth were going to be blessed through him. Abram saw the fulfillment of almost none of those promises. And yet Abram was called by God. He took that word of God to heart and he trusted in God. The author to the Hebrews lists Abram as a hero of the faith. By faith, he says, Abram, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham believed. He trusted that God knew what he was doing. And he grew in his faith in God. Wherever God sends Abram, Abram responds by building an altar and worshiping the true God. Abram demonstrates his faith in his obedience to God's call. And I have to wonder, how many of us would pack everything up and go if God appeared to us and asked us to? I got to admit, in our lives, we're very, very comfortable. We like our routines. We have our customary habits. And we have a pretty comfortable lifestyle. If there's one thing we don't like, it's change. Most of us even sit in the exact same pew every week. And yet God's call often draws us out of our comfort zone. He's called us to touch others with His grace. He calls us to grow in faith. And sometimes that growth and that change can become uncomfortable. God calls us to share His love with others. And so a new family moves into the neighborhood, and the first thing we want to know is, are they like us? Are they the same age? Are they retired, or do they have children? Will they fit in with our friends, or are they very, very different? a friend at school or at work comes to you and they share that they're having some problems and they want to talk to you, and we're not so sure we have time. All of this sounds like it's going to be messy. If I care for someone, if I listen, if I get dragged into their problems, it will draw me out of my routine. As a congregation, we're called to reach out and to move out of our comfort zone. We recognize that many people in our community need to be touched with the grace of God. And yet all around us, it seems as though our culture is changing so fast. How can we connect more people in our world to Christ? What will it look like? What will it mean for me? Change can often be threatening. Change can sometimes be uncomfortable. And it's part of our human nature that so often when we are called to move, when we're called to change, we pull back. We resist. We really don't want to stretch ourselves. We'd rather be comfortable. And yet God in His infinite wisdom chose Abram, a man who was far from perfect. All you have to do is read the very next story in Genesis 12. In His infinite wisdom, God chooses Abram and God chooses you and me. Even when we aren't perfectly obedient to Him, God makes promises to us. By faith in Christ, we are the true children of Abraham. We are His children, a great and holy nation redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, set free from our self-centered sinfulness, and we, like Abraham, are blessed to be a blessing. We are called out of our comfortable lifestyles and baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Christ gave up His place in heaven next to the Father to enter into our world and suffer even death on a cross so that you and I and all people could have forgiveness and life with Him. God sent His Son into the world that all who believed in Him would not perish but would have eternal life. And He calls us to follow our Lord and Savior. Like Abram, we remember that we are in fact citizens of heaven, not of this earth. And as we journey toward our heavenly home, we reach out and we share Christ and His love so that as many people as possible can come to faith and share the joys of eternity with us. We share in the blessings that God gave to our spiritual father, Abraham. God provides for us on our journey, just as He provided for Abram. God stays in contact with us. He continues to nurture our relationship with Him through the power of His Word and Spirit. And we also rely on the promises of God. A friend of mine once observed, God calls us wherever we are, but He never leaves us just where we are. God promises that our relationship with Him, our trust and our confidence in Him and His promises, that will grow. And God promises us forgiveness and new life. And that empowers us to serve Him. That empowers us to risk being uncomfortable for Jesus' sake. Perhaps you've already guessed how my story ends. Did I have to move while I was a senior in high school? Well, I did. I ended up staying a few months longer. I finished up my senior year of high school, but the day after graduation, they came out and they went through graduation with me, and we packed up the car and we moved to Indianapolis. And you know what? That summer was the worst summer of my entire life. I hated it. I had a crummy job bussing tables. I did not like that. I had no new friends. I felt very alone and very isolated. And it was, you know, as I look back, it was probably like the worst summer of my life. It was a struggle. But when I look back, I also recognize that it's because my parents moved back to Indiana that I ended up going to college where I went. And it's because I went to that college that I ended up meeting Joan. And it's because my family moved that Joan and I met and we got married. And quite honestly, I can't imagine life any other way. And so in a small way, as I look back at that very traumatic time and at that move, that was a blessing. Though it caused me discomfort and pain and even a little bit of suffering and a lot of whining, it provided more blessings. But isn't that the way God works? When He calls us out of our comfort zone, when we struggle, when we have no one to trust but Him, He's there for us. He's watching over us and caring for us just like He did for Abraham. Because God demonstrates over and over again that He is a God who is relentlessly faithful to His promises. So how is God calling you today to follow Him? How has God blessed you to be a blessing to others? May the God of Abraham, our God of great and powerful promises, bless you as together we seek to follow His call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now worship our Lord and Savior through the giving